إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد نرحب بكم مرة أخرى في هذه المجالس الطيبة مجالس شهر رمضان المبارك وكما بدأنا أمس أن الله سبحانه وتعالى شرع لنا عبادات جليلة في نهاية هذا الشهر العظيم. As we mentioned yesterday in these gatherings of in this blessed month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us actions of worship in that to be performed in the end of this blessed month of Ramadan. منها زكاة الفطر ومنها التكبير ومنها العيد. From them is زكاة الفطر and the تكبير and the عيد prayer. Yesterday, we mentioned the talk was about Zakat al-Fitr. Briefly, I'm going to summarize what we took yesterday as related to Zakat al-Fitr. That Zakat al-Fitr is in Ramadan. It is not in any other month. So it is related to the month of Ramadan. Especially to the Fitr, the breaking of the fast. Because it comes to the end, at the end of the month of Ramadan. It's not in the first, the beginning of it, or the middle, but is in the end of the month of Ramadan. And it is obligatory upon the Muslims to give Zakat al-Fitr. Because of the hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, قال فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الفطر صاعا من تمر أو صاعا من شعير على الحر والعبد والذكر والأنثى والصغير والكبير من المسلمين. Because of this hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, رحمهم الله, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it obligatory to give Zakat al-Fitr, a sa' of dates or sa' of barley upon the free and the slave, the male and the female, the young and the elders amongst the Muslims. Other narrations also, they mentioned that which the Prophet ﷺ has commanded this ummah with, and also the actions, عمل الصحابة, that Zakat al-Fitr is to be given from food. And therefore, we do not give it as money, the value of the food. As certain people now, you will find some people who, they say, yes, it's okay to give it, but as far as the right things to do, we follow the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ. Because this is the deen of Allah. No country can claim this. Okay? Or a person, or a sheikh, or an imam. Islam is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he wants to practice Islam correctly, we adhere to the book of Allah and to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. عَلَى فَهْمِ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ, upon the understanding of the righteous predecessors, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in the first place. So we have narrations that says that Zakat al-Fitr is to be given from food, and the Sahaba did it, walhamdulillah, and those who apply the Sunnah and follow the Sunnah, that's what they do. Some people, they says, no, people, they need this and that. Akhi, you can give them money if you want. There is Zakat al-Mal. Okay, this is not the only Zakat that is legislated in Islam. There is Zakat al-Mal, you can give them Zakat al-Mal, the Zakat of wealth. There is As-Sadaqat, Sadaqat al-Tatawwu'. There is the recommended charities. But this one, why you give food? Because this is the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if anyone use and give the money instead, قَدْ خَالَفَ سُنَّةَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, this person has opposed the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't have nothing to do with the madhab. Has nothing to do with the color of this country or the other. Has to do with opposing the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وقد روى الإمام مسلم في صحيحه من حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has said in this hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, whoever does an action that is not in accordance to what we are upon, it will be rejected. No one wants his deeds to be rejected. So we do not follow what the people says, we follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what we give from food. The ulama, they says, even though the narrations mention five types of food, however, it is permissible to give from the food that is known to the people in this area, even though that food, it is not one of those five types that are mentioned in the narrations, such as rice, for example. Rice, it is not included in the five types that used to be in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it is permissible to give to the people that which it is known to them. For example, rice. Yes, it is permissible to give that. Beans, corn, dhura, and the like. فَمَا هُوَ مِقْدَارُ الزَّكَاةِ Or so we mentioned that, how much do you give? It is not just you give whatever you want. No, you give isa'. Isa' for each person in the household. If you're alone, one sa'. Another person with you, a wife for example, then two sa's. A child, three sa's. And likewise, your mother live with you and under your care, or your father, you add them and the like. A sa' is a four handfuls, medium handfuls, four of them. Okay? Four of them for each person, that's a sa'. And to be given, the best time is in the night of the Eid. The night of the Eid. If, for example, the moon is sighted, that night, from Maghrib on until Salat al-Eid, that's the best time to give it. Especially before Eid prayer, from Fajr that day until the Eid prayer, and we should not delay and give it after the Eid. Unless if a person have a valid reason. Person was about to give it, but then they couldn't give it, and for whatever reason, those people, they couldn't give it, that's something else. This is something else. And it's to be given to who? It has to be given to those people that are mentioned in the ayah of Surah At-Tawbah. Those people who are the recipients of the zakats. Mainly the poor and the masakeen. These are the ones that receive the zakat al-fitr. The poor, what is the difference between the poor and the masakeen? Because some people, they say there is no poor. Okay, you may not have a poor, but there is masakeen around you. What is the difference between a poor and a miskeen? The ulama, they mentioned that the poor person, he's the one who really doesn't have enough for a day or two and the like. Really, they are not. They don't have much. The miskeen is a person who doesn't have enough for a whole year. And we ask our noble scholar, they mentioned, even though this person may have a job, and have a place. It's not a miskeen is always somebody who's homeless in the streets. No, this person have a place and have a job, but then they're struggling. They're struggling. If they lose that job, that's it. They become poor. These people, they are to be given from the zakat in general what they need for the entire year, whether for their lodging, for their food, for their clothing, and the like. So that's a miskeen. They are entitled for the zakat as well. And it has to be given to the poor and the miskeens in your area. It is not a choice to just give it, send it to another country or another place. La, it has to be given, and that's the hikmah, and that's the wisdom behind it. That the poor and the needy in the area, they will receive it. Unless if there is none, somebody live in the area, there is no poor or masakeen, none of those people that deserve it as recipients, then at that moment he can take it to another area where there is poor and there is masakeen. A question, can non-Muslims receive zakat al-fitr? Yesterday we shared with you the statement of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen and the statement of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. All of them agreed on one thing. that when it comes to the obligatory sadaqat, the obligatory charities, because the charities, there is that which is obligatory upon us and that which is recommended. Okay? Sadaqa wajiba wa sadaqatu tatawwa. As for the obligatory charities such as zakat, zakat al-mal, that's obligatory, it's not an option, that's an obligation. Then zakat al-fitr, also it's an obligation. The kafarat, somebody who has to expiate for certain things that they did, that's an obligation. And nudhur, the oath, somebody may take an oath, all this an obligation. Can be given to the non-Muslims? It is not permissible to give it to them, except with one condition. Except with one condition, the ulama, they mention, what is it? If they fall in the category that Allah mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 60, وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. What does this mean, الْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ? Those that their hearts are inclined towards Islam. They know about it, they heard about it, and mashallah, they inquiring, they acquiring about it, and you see that their hearts are inclined towards it. They are not fighting the Muslims, they are not opposing it, and the like. Then yes, these people, they can be given from the zakat. Any zakat, including zakat al-fitr. Other than this, no. Other than this, no. Tayyib. If something I didn't mention, or somebody will have a question later on in the class, after the class, inshallah, okay? Jazakum Allah khair. One of the things is the Eid. We're going to read to you the rulings of the Eid. Because this is another thing that, another ibadah, an act of worship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us in the end of this blessed month of Ramadan. The Eid prayer. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان ونقرأ لكم من الملخص الفقهي. I'm going to read to you from the ملخص الفقهي. If it's a little bit longer, if we cannot finish it today, we continue tomorrow, inshallah, same time after العصر. قال صلاة العيدين عيد الفطر وعيد الأضحى مشروعة بالكتاب والسنة وإجماع المسلمين. He says, as for the two Eid prayers, the Eid al-Fitr, which come at the end of Ramadan, and Eid al-Adha, which come in the Hajj time, the 10th of the Hijjah. These two Eids are legislated for us by the text from the book and the Sunnah and the consensus of the Muslims. وقد كان المشركون يتخذون أعيادا زمانية ومكانية فأبطلها الإسلام وعوض عنها عيد الفطر وعيد الأضحى شكرا لله تعالى على أداء هاتين العبادتين العظيمتين صوم رمضان وحج بيت الله الحرام. Then the Sheikh shared with us a benefit that the mushrik, the polytheists, they used to have celebrations and Eids, festivals. They were connected, some of them are connected to certain time or occasions and some to certain places. But Islam has abolished all of them and make all of those celebrations and those festivals void and nullify. And legislate for us the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And why we celebrate the Eid al-Adha? Why we have Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, these two Eids? To show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has aided us and helped us to achieve two great actions of worship. Fasting in the month of Ramadan and the Hajj in the house of Allah. The Hajj. وقد صحح للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لما قدم المدينة وكان لأهلها يومان يلعبون فيهما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أبدلكم الله بهما خيرا منهما يوم النحر ويوم الفطر. In authentic hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he came to Medina, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, first he began his da'wah where? In Mecca. How many years the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spent in Mecca, jihad? 13 years in Mecca. 13 years in Mecca. Calling to a Tawheed, to al-Islam. But then the Prophet ﷺ was given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to migrate to Al-Madinah. So when the Prophet ﷺ came to Al-Madinah, he found that the people of Madinah, they had 2 days that they celebrate. And they have amusements in them and the like. Okay? But the Prophet ﷺ, he said to the Muslims, Allah has exchanged these 2 celebrations with 2 that are better than them. We are 2 that are better than them. The day of Nahr, which is Eid al-Adha, the slaughter of the animals, and the day of Al-Fitr, the Eid al-Fitr, which is the Eid right after Ramadan, exactly on the 1st of Shawwal. فَلَا تَجُزُ الزِّيَادَ عَلَى هَذَيْنِ الْعِيدَيْنِ بِإِحْدَاتِ أَعْيَادٍ أُخْرَى. This is now, there is a qa'ida, the Shaykh mentioned a qa'ida, a principle. So therefore, it is not permissible to add any other Eids other than these 2. It's not permissible to celebrate any festivities or any activities other than these 2. كَأَعْيَادِ الْمَوَالِدِ وَغَيْرِهَا. For example, celebrating birthdays, including the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not permissible for us to celebrate any birthday, your mother's, father's, children's, and including the birthday of the best of mankind, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not from Islam. It's not permissible. لماذا؟ لأن ذلك زيادة على ما شرعه الله وابتداع في الدين. ومخالفة لسنة سيد المرسلين وتشبه بالكافرين. الله أكبر. الشيخ gives the reason why we don't celebrate. Number 1, because those who celebrate other than these 2, they add into what Allah has legislated. Because Allah has legislated for us only these 2 celebrations. The Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Number 2, it is an innovation therefore. Since Allah didn't legislate it, then it is an innovation in the religion of Allah. And innovations are haram and prohibited. And dalala and misguidance. Number 3, it is a clear opposition to the sunnah of the best of all the messengers. Because he didn't do any of that. Prophet ﷺ, he celebrated these 2, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And number 4, it is an imitation to the non-believers. Those who celebrate birthdays and many other things, they are imitating the non-believers. So these are 4 reasons. سواء سميت أعيادا أو ذكريات أو أياما أو أسابيع أو أعوام. The Shaykh says, regardless what the people may call it, somebody says, look, this is only a memory. Okay, this is in the memory of so, in the memory of such. Okay, or they call it a days, the day of this, Mother Day, Father Day, I don't know, grape day, this day, the other thing day, whatever day. But they still celebrating, but they call just that's a day. Okay? Or a week. Some people, they have a whole week of festivities. Some they have a whole year. And the like, all of this is not permissible. كل ذلك ليس من سنة الإسلام بل هو من فعل الجاهلية وتقليد للأمم الكفرية من الدول الغربية وغيرها. All of this is not permissible. Why? Because it is not from that which Allah has legislated for us in this beautiful religion of Islam. Rather, it is from the actions of Jahiliyyah, the times of ignorance. And it is a clear imitation and emulation of the non-believers amongst the countries in the West who are not upon Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ has said in the authentic hadith, that is in collected by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and Imam Al-Albani graded it Hassan Sahih in Al-Irwa and in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawood on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tashabbaha biqawmin fahu minhum. Whoever imitates a people, he is one of them. Whoever emulate and follow the path of a people, he is one of them. And also in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, that in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ used to always say this, Inna khayr al-kitabi, Inna khayr al-hadithi kitabullah. Inna khayr al-hadithi kitabullah, وخير الهدي هدي محمد وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة. This hadith, the Prophet ﷺ used to repeat a lot, this statement, indeed the best of statements is the book of Allah. The best of speech is the book of Allah. The best of guidance, the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the worst of all affairs are those newly invented matters to this deen of Islam. Those matters that are introduced to the deen of Allah and they are not from it. For indeed every innovation is misguidance. قال الشيخ نسأل الله أن يرينا الحق حقا ويرزقنا اتباعه وأن يرينا الباطل باطلا ويرزقنا اجتنابه. In the Shaykh, he mentioned a dua. He made a dua. He said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make clear the haq, the truth clear for us. And help us and assist us to follow it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make falsehood clear to us. No ambiguity in it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. آمين. ثم قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله ويسمى العيد عيدا لأنه يعود ويتكرر كل عام ويعود بالفرح والسرور ويعود الله فيه بالإحسان على عباده على إثر أدائهم لطاعته بالصيام والحج. Now he tells us why this it was called عيد. Why it is called عيد الفطر عيد الأضحى عيد, because he comes back again from عادة يعود. عادة in Arabic it means he returns. عادة من السفر, somebody who was traveling. This is some vocabulary by the way. Okay, قال عادة محمد من سفره, that Muhammad returned from his journey. That's عادة. عاد يعود عودة. So that's why he was called عيد, because he returns. How many times the عيد الفطر returns a week? A month? A year? Every 52 weeks? That's a good answer. Mashallah. Because he comes every year. How many times, Ahmed? The عيد الفطر, how many times a year? Is it 3 or 4? 3. One. أي نعم أحسنت. عندك جائزة. You have a gift. What is Ramadan? Oh, the other Ramadan is not here, but you're here. You got him? زاك الله. بارك الله. حياك الله. And he needs one for trying too. Alright? He tried. Alhamdulillah. Okay? So now everybody's going to try next time, right? Allahu Akbar. طيب. Because it repeats, it returns. And also, not only the Eid return, the Shaykh says, but the joy, happiness, subhanAllah, because we're supposed to be happy in the Eid. All these good things return with the Eid. People should not be sad in the Eid, man. You gotta be happy. In Ramadan too, you got to be very happy because you're doing ibadah. You're doing things that get you closer to Allah, get you to the Jannah. And also because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bestow His favors upon His believing servants according to them being obedient to Him, especially through these two great acts of worship, the fasting and the Hajj. والدليل على مشروعية صلاة العيد قوله تعالى فصل لربك وانحر وقوله تعالى قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والخلفاء من بعده يداومون عليها. The proof now, the Shaykh says that the Eid prayer is legislated for us to pray, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kawthar, verse number 2, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Perform the prayer for your Lord, for Allah, and your slaughter as well. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. He is successful, indeed the one who purifies himself, and remember Allah and perform the prayer. Remember his Lord and perform the prayer. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was consistent in performing the Eid. He didn't just perform the Eid once a while. Consistent. Every Eid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the Eid prayer. And also, the rightly guided Khalifa, Khulafa, after him, they were also persistent in performing the eight prayers. وقد أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بها حتى النساء فيسن للمرأة حضورها غير متطيبة ولا لابسة لثياب زينة أو شهرة لقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام وليخرجنا الضمير يعود على النساء وليخرجنا تفلات ويعتزلن الرجال ويعتزل الحيض المصلى. And also because the Prophet ﷺ has commanded even women to attend the Eid prayers. See, the women, it's not obligatory upon them to attend the prayers in the masjid. It's not obligatory upon them. But they were commanded to attend the Eid prayers. The Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr prayers. However, the Shaykh says that these women, the women, they should come to the musalla, to the Eid prayer, not touching any perfume. It's not permissible for a woman to put perfume on and leave the house anyway, for work, for a dentist, for grocery shopping, visiting her family, or anything who come into the masjid. The woman do not put perfume and leave the house. Okay? Nor they shouldn't actually leave the house not dressed properly. And of course, dressed properly is not according to the custom of this country or the other. The women need to learn the proper hijab that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not like, oh, my country is on this, other country is on that. No. Or the majority of the people. No, the women, they need to learn what is the proper hijab. What is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they learn and they cover according to what Allah has commanded, not according to traditions, not according to my custom, my tribe, my people, my country. No, that's not going to be of a benefit. Need to learn. The same way we pray Fajr, two rak'at, and Dhuhr, four, and the like, it's not because of our tribes, our countries, or our countrymen, because this is what Allah has legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we fast from Fajr until sunset. Now, it's not like because of a custom. No, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. People, they make Hajj in Mecca, not in Bangladesh, not in Egypt or Sudan. No, they make it in that same place, in the right time, in the right place, doing the right things, not because of the customs once again. It's because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. So the women, they should learn the hijab. And we men, we should help them and make it easy for them, especially to get into that transition. Sometimes women, that's all they know. Alhamdulillah, now we present them with the knowledge. You gotta be easy, be nice, use hikmah, and introduce them to the hijab, insha'Allah ta'ala. Because first of all, they need to believe that this is what Allah has legislated. You don't want a woman to wear it only to please her husband, but in her heart she'll hate it, she don't want it. It's not beneficial for her. Now you have to be taught. She has to be taught, look, you don't not doing it for me. You're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it to please me, even though I'm going to be very pleased when I see you, not because of other reasons, because you are adhering to what Allah has legislated. Okay? And you are a believer. He wants to be in the Jannah, alhamdulillah. Look, wearing any clothing, people are still going to look at you. They're going to find something to say about what you wear. But do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pay no mind what the people said about you. Because insha'Allah ta'ala, your reward is with Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our sisters in Islam, our mothers, wives, daughters, stepdaughters, and the likes, to those who are already covered, to continue to cover properly. And those who are struggling, may Allah make it easy for them. Ameen. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَلْيَخْرُجْنَ تَفِيلَاتِ. Tafilat meaning not having perfume and observing the dress code, the Muslim code. Okay? The attire that is prescribed in Islam. And also they should avoid men. No mixing in a parking lot or in front of the musalla or after the Eid or before the Eid prayer. No mixing between the women and the men. That's not permissible in Islam. and the Huyad, the women on their menses, they come too, but they do not pray with the Muslimat. But they attend, alhamdulillah, the salat, the dua, they make the takbir themselves, alhamdulillah, and they're happy, but they do not pray. They do not pray the Eid prayer. والخروج لصلاة العيد وأداء صلاة العيد على هذا النمط المشهود من الجميع في إظهار شعائر الإسلام. وأول صلاة صلاها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للعيد يوم الفطر من السنة الثانية من الهجرة، ولم يزل صلى الله عليه وسلم يواظب عليها حتى فارق الدنيا صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. لأن الشيخ mentioned that the first Eid prayer that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has performed is عيد الفطر. Is the Eid prayer on Yawm al-Fitr after Ramadan, at the end of Ramadan, in the second year of the Hijrah. In the second year of the Hijrah. And the Prophet ﷺ continued to perform it until he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاسْتَمَرَّ عَلَيْهَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ خَلَفًا عَنْ سَلَفٍ. And the Muslims, they will continue after the Prophet ﷺ, including the best of this ummah, the companions, رَضْوَانُ اللَّهِ. And those who come after them, في الخيرية, the تابعون, and أتباع التابعون, and the أئمة of the deen, they continue to perform the Eid prayers. And from this, many of the ulama, they mention, and they choose the opinion that performing the Eid prayer is an obligatory. Even though there is other opinions that this says it is recommended, it is a sunnah, some they say it is fardu kifaya, communal obligation, if some of the Muslim did it, others they can't. But al-rajih, wallahu a'lam, that which is to look the sound opinion, it is an obligation because of this adilla. The Prophet ﷺ commanded the women to attend. And he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never missed one of them. The Sahaba, ridwanullah alayhim, they continue to do it, and the Muslims as well. So the ulama, they mentioned from the Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and others, there is an obligation. This is the choice of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, also Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen, Imam al-Shawkani, except for the one who have a valid reason. And what is a valid reason? People should ask, what is for what? Is this a valid reason? Okay, inshaAllah ta'ala. وَيَبْدَأُ وَقْتُ صَلَاةِ الْعِيدِ. Of course, I skip something if somebody is reading, because some of the things is related to Eid al-Adha, but now for the time we'll just, inshallah ta'ala, focus on the Eid al-Fitr, inshallah ta'ala. وَيَبْدَأُ وَقْتُ صَلَاةِ الْعِيدِ إِذَا ارْتَفَعَتِ الشَّمْسُ بَعْدَ طُلُوعِهَا قَدْرَ رُمْحٍ. لأنه الوقت الذي كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصليها فيه ويمتد وقتها إلى زوال الشمس. Now what is the time when the Eid prayer began? The Eid prayer starts when the sun rises and reaches the horizon the length of a spear. It is not permissible to pray while the sun is rising. This is one of the times of prohibitions. But once the sun reaches in the horizon, as you can see, the length of a spear, okay, then, and the Shaykh ibn al-Taymeen, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says it takes maybe 15 to 20 minutes for the sun to get to that level. Then, that's where its time started. And because this is the time where the Prophet ﷺ used to perform the Eid prayer. وَيَمْتَدُّ وَقْتُهَا إِلَى زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ. And this time extends until the dhuhr time. Once the sun moved towards the west, from the zenith, then that's time. That's the end of the time of the Eid prayer. Now the Shaykh mentioned a mas'ala. قال حفظه الله فإن لم يعلم بالعيد إلا بعد الزوال. What if certain people they didn't know about the Eid until dhuhr time? It may happen sometimes. No, the moon was not sighted. Okay. Especially, of course, the moon began to be, the sighting of the moon started, what day? What day? Somebody know? What day we start sighting the moon? In Ramadan? Wednesday. Every Wednesday. This year, Wednesday. Okay, yes, this year coincides with Wednesday. Jazakallah khair. The 29th, once we fast the 29th day. Once we fast, complete the 29th day, that Maghrib, the moon is sighted. It's not sighted on 27th or 26th, or no. You got to complete the 29th. Then it is sighted. Okay? Sometimes the people they sighted, they see it, alhamdulillah, the moon was sighted, that's it. That month, this Ramadan is 29. Not this one we're talking about. The Ramadan is an example. Now it is 29, no 30. So automatically the next day is the Eid. But now the Prophet ﷺ tells us, but if the moon is not sighted, for whatever reason, overcast or it's clear, it's bright, but you can't see it, what the Prophet ﷺ said, he says, complete Ramadan 30 days, and automatically the following day become the Eid. So that's what the Sheikh is talking about. Here is these people in this area, they didn't know. They said no sighting. MashaAllah, they took suhoor, they fasted the next day, which is the 30th day of Ramadan. But then somebody told them, you guys don't know that the Eid today? They're like, no, we didn't know. Nobody told us. They said, okay, well now you know, it's the Eid. But they didn't know until after when? But Dhuhr time. What the Shaykh says? He said, what these people do? They pray the Eid that day? No. He said, Sallu min al ghadi qada'an. Those people, where their Eid is going to be? The next morning. The next morning, they break their fast, and the next morning, that's where they have the Eid prayer. قال لما روى أبو عمير ابن أنس عن عمومة له من الأنصار قالوا غم علينا هلال شوال فأصبحنا صياما. Because of this hadith of Abu Umair ibn Anas that some of his uncles from the Ansar, they told him, they mentioned to him this incident that took place. Says that they couldn't sight the crescent of Shawwal. So therefore, no sighting for them. The next morning they fasted. فجاء ركب في آخر النهار فشهدوا أنهم رأوا الهلال بالأمس. But a caravan, a people who were riding and traveling, they came. When they arrived towards the end of the day, and they informed the Prophet ﷺ that they saw the hilal yesterday. They saw it. The last night, okay? They saw it the night before. فَأَمَرَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُفْطِرُوا مِنْ يَوْمِهِمْ وَأَنْ يَخْرُجُوا غَدًا لِعِيدِهِمْ. So immediately the Prophet ﷺ commanded the people to break the fast and to have the Eid prayer the next morning. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والدارقطني وحسنه وصححه جماعة من الحفاظ. قال الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى فلو كانت يعني صلاة العيد تؤدى بعد الزوال لما أخرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الغد ولأن صلاة العيد شرع لها الاجتماع العام فلا بد أن يسبقها وقت يتمكن الناس من التهيؤ لها. He says now if the Eid prayer could be performed after Dhuhr, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would not delay it until the next morning. Okay? Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would not delay it until the next morning. And also he says because the Eid prayer, this is a major event for the Muslims, so they need to prepare for it. They need some time to prepare for it, the Shaykh says. Also the Shaykh says as for the Eid al-Fitr, it should be delayed a little bit, the Salats. The Eid al-Fitr should be delayed, not immediately after the sunrise. The Shaykh says, so you can give the people some time to give Zakat al-Fitr. So you extend the time for the people to give Zakat al-Fitr before the Eid prayer. As for, the Shaykh says, as for the Eid al-Adha, you got to do it immediately. so that the people will go and have enough time to slaughter the animals. Okay? But for the Eid al-Fitr, he says, it should be delayed a little bit, so that to give the people extra time to give Zakat al-Fitr. Because Zakat al-Fitr, as we learned, has to be given before the Salat. Before the Salat. Naam, ya.
So if I came to know during the Dhuhr time of 30th Ramadan that it was today is Eid, but should I continue fasting or I just
no fasting? We don't fast on the Eid day. It's not permissible to fast on the Eid day. If in a community somewhere they didn't know, they were looking for the moon sighting. Today is the Alhamdulillah, it's easy for us, we have the technology, we have. But what about some people? They stranded somewhere in some village, in some, I don't know, some Sahara, in some mountain, they have no signals, nobody to. They looked themselves, they couldn't see, now they fasting, but then somebody told them later on, that day, no, it's the Eid today, okay? So then they break the fast. Because them, alhamdulillah, they did the right thing. Since they don't know the siding, they have to complete the Ramadan 30 days. But once they are informed by someone trustworthy that yes, today is the Eid, then alhamdulillah, they break the fast immediately. They don't wait until Maghrib. No, they break it immediately, and they, if it's before Dhuhr, they pray the Eid. But if it's not, if it's after that, then they pray the next day, if they are from those people who it is legislated for them to pray the Eid prayer, as the Sheikh is going to mention that later on. We're going to stop here for today, inshallah ta'ala. We'll continue tomorrow. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.